Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. With coronavirus infections still surging in Spain and Italy, the two countries are calling for more assistance from the European Union. Together, the two account for more than half of the world's death toll and are still seeing more than 800 deaths a day each. Italy's Deputy Health Minister, Pier Paolo Soleri, told the BBC why, despite the increase in new cases, he believes his country is currently experiencing the peak in the outbreak.
We are testing more. And obviously, when you test more, you may find more positive people. And this will explain the increased number of positive that we found over the last 2 days. But I believe that we are living in the peak of this epidemia. I believe in 1 week time, 10 days maximum, we will see a significant drop of positive cases.
European Union leaders are defending their pledges to do whatever it takes to help member countries weather the corona crisis. But as Terry Schultz reports, the economic hardships are highlighting the bloc's deep divisions.
Italy has renewed its appeal for the EU to issue low-interest bonds to help it and other countries struggling in the COVID-19 crisis. Most EU governments, including France, support the call, but a handful, led by Germany, are blocking it, reluctant to have their taxpayers assume collective debt. EU officials themselves insist all options for financial backing remain on the table, emphasizing the eurozone's linked economies rise or fall together. Internal Market Commissioner Thierry Breton on French Radio. The essential word in this crisis, Breton says, is solidarity. At a video conference summit last week, the 27 leaders failed to find a compromise, tasking finance ministers to come up with proposals in 2 weeks. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
The CDC now warning residents of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut to refrain from non-essential travel for 2 weeks. NPR's Amy Held reports the advisory for the region with the most coronavirus cases in the country falls short of the quarantine President Trump had been threatening.
The CDC issued its first domestic travel advisory related to the outbreak late Saturday, saying due to extensive community spread in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, residents should avoid traveling. Those in critical jobs like public health, trucking, and food services are exempt. The federal agency says implementation is up to the governors. They have already imposed restrictions, including shutting non-essential businesses. Earlier, President Trump said he was considering a quarantine of the region, but critics said he lacks the legal authority, with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo likening the move to a declaration of war on states. Trump backed off the idea. It comes as several states are requiring self-quarantines for those fleeing New York. Amy Held, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is apologizing to the public for imposing a 3-week national lockdown. In his monthly address on state radio, he acknowledged the hardships the move is having on the nation's poor, but he said the step is needed to win the battle against the coronavirus. With the Indian population at some 1.3 billion, the lockdown is the world's largest and has thrown many out of work. It went into effect last Wednesday. Russia's largest oil company has announced it is selling its assets in Venezuela in an attempt to extract itself from U.S. sanctions. From Moscow, Charles Maines has details.
Rosneft, a state-owned Russian company with top management close to President Vladimir Putin, said it dumped its assets to protect its global operations and private investors from U.S. sanctions. Last month, Washington slapped penalties on Rosneft's subsidiaries because of their work exporting oil from Venezuela, which the White House has targeted with broader sanctions in an effort to force President Nicolas Maduro from power. The Rosneft investment in Venezuela had symbolized Kremlin pushback against that U.S. pressure. Less clear how much that dynamic has now changed. Rosneft's shares were bought by an unnamed company also owned by the Russian government, but unlikely to match the oil giant's global reach. For NPR News, I'm Charles Maines in Moscow.
The celebrated Polish composer Krzysztof Penderecki has died. He was 86. He was a 4-time Grammy winner, and his music was used in films, including Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Poland's Ministry of Culture said in a tweet today that Penderecki died after a long and serious illness. His daughter says he had tested negative for the coronavirus. I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.